Ukraine security issue.
On May 20th, the 86th day of the Ukrainian people's heroic fight against Russian invaders, the General Staff of the Ukrainian Armed Forces reported that the Russian army had lost almost 29,000 troops and more than 8,000 pieces of weaponry and special equipment. The Russian invaders suffered the heaviest losses of personnel and materiel in the Donetsk region, where they again failed to cut the strategically important highway to the town of Bakhmut. At the same time, they launched massive air, missile and artillery strikes on the town, which resulted in civilian casualties and serious destructions of civilian infrastructure. The occupiers are intensively shelling towns and villages along the entire front line. At least 20 civilians were killed, 50 injured in the Donbas on Thursday. A gas pipeline, a sports complex, a student hostel, a hospital, warehouses, and more than 100 other civilian buildings were completely destroyed or damaged. Russian troops are on the offensive in the Luhansk region. They have again attempted to take the city of Severodonetsk, but suffered serious losses and retreated. According to Sergei Haidai, head of the Luhansk Region Military Administration, the city is under incessant fire. They target exclusively residential blocks. It's impossible to count the dead and wounded, he said. However, in spite of the lethal danger, efforts continue to deliver water and food to the remaining residents and evacuate those wishing to leave their homes. All in all, over the past 24 hours, the Ukrainian defenders fighting in the Donbas have beaten off 14 enemy attacks and destroyed about 30 armored vehicles and other pieces of weaponry. As reports arrived of new civilian casualties and destructions in the Kharkiv region, the Ukrainian army continued its counteroffensive there. Over the past 2 weeks, they have liberated 23 villages. One of them, Kutuzivka, is located 5 kilometers from Kharkiv. The Russians shelled Kharkiv from the village before they were kicked out. Now they shell the village, which is almost empty. One of its few remaining residents, Petro, explained why he and his sister stayed in their house. One of the reasons was that he is bedridden. I lie in my bed wondering every time if my house will fall or not. My bed just jumps around the room. Of course, we never thought this could ever happen. We thought they were our brothers. Petro's neighbor Valentina Sinyakova says that Russian soldiers occupied her house. When they retreated, they left behind their uniforms and helmets. The old woman's daughter and granddaughter fled, and she still can't get in touch with them. I have no telephone, so they don't call me. I can't say where they are. I'm 81 and I'm alone here, said Valentina. Two Russian missiles exploded on Friday near the city of Malin, Zhytomyr region. Zhytomyr Mayor Sergei Sukhomlin said that works were underway in the region to fortify the section of the border with Belarus in order to prevent a military incursion from Belarusian territory. Meanwhile, in the south of the country, the Russian invaders shelled the villages and towns in the Kherson region, which are under their control, and then blame civilian casualties and destructions on the Ukrainian army. The evacuation of Ukrainian soldiers from the Azovstal steelworks in Mariupol continues. Denis Prokopenko, commander of the Azov regiment, said in a video address on Friday that the Ukrainian military leadership is exerting maximum effort to arrange for the evacuation of all the defenders of Mariupol, including the dead. Deputy Defense Minister Hanna Maler reminded that began on May 16th and said that Kyiv was in talks on exchanging the Ukrainian defenders for Russian prisoners of war. This process is very sensitive, she said. That's why there are no commands from our leadership, but everything possible to be done to bring back the defenders of Mariupol. Zaporizhia has become a kind of hub for aiding people fleeing occupied cities and villages and those shelled by Russian invaders. By now, more than 100,000 people, including over 30,000 children, have been evacuated to Zaporizhia through the humanitarian corridor. The city authorities and many volunteers provide them with essentials. Yulia Sapa and her family, who have just fled their town, came to the volunteer aid center early in the morning. I came here from the town of Vasilivka with my husband and two children, because we couldn't endure the constant shelling anymore. It was horrible. One of the local volunteers, Sergei Andrew, who heads the aid center, says that it provides medicines and foodstuffs to the internally displaced and military equipment to the military. On Friday, he gave Ukrainian soldiers a helmet worth $450. They told Ukrainian radio that this was not the first time they turned to the volunteer aid center. They had earlier received US-made fourth-class bulletproof vests, very reliable and tested in action. Andrew had also given artillerymen a long-awaited voltage transformer. He says that he was to work as a packager, a loader, and a driver together with several other volunteers, one of whom is a theater actor from Lviv.
Як чудовий приклад міжнародний Стіву Джобса починали з мого власного особистого гаража.
Following the great example of Steve Jobs, we started out from my personal garage where we brought the first equipment for our volunteer work. There were collected a sort and packaged humanitarian aid, and then the garage became too small and we rented a more spacious place. Now we work here every day. We cover hundreds of kilometers and have dozens of meetings with our military. All for the sake of our victory, said Sergei Andruch.